this kind of gives me a good starting point as to why I'm really here is I hope to represent our whole district, which is Colorado and Nebraska, for all the new churches that are starting. And you can see here, there may be a few people on this list that are familiar. I don't know what that is, but I'll fix that. There we go. These are all the different churches that this district considers to be brand new church starts. You can see Marty and Jacqueline Reiswick, who are in Denver as well. Julie Collins in Fort Collins. This is my family here, which is in Aurora, which is on the east side of Denver. And then you see Jason and Laura are on here. They're considered the Chadron Church is considered a church plant because it was officially recognized as a new church. I think a couple of years ago, isn't that right, Jason? And so any church that is 3 years old or younger is considered a new church. So I'm just going to share with you for a couple of minutes about kind of what we're doing in our new church, and then I'll get to my message after that. I just know once I get started, I don't want to kind of interrupt it. So if that's okay with everybody, I'll just share a little bit, introduce myself and those things. So this is my family. They decided not to make the drive this morning. I got up at about 3:30 to drive here this morning, and my kids were asleep and my wife was asleep, and they did not want to make the drive today. But we're so happy to be a part of this district. My home church, Cherry Creek Wesleyan Church, is my father's the pastor, as Jason shared, was started 25 years ago next Sunday. And so our family moved from South Dakota when I was actually 4 years old, and we moved to the Denver area to start a brand new church. And it was an exciting time. I remember it well. It was one of my first memories, packing up the moving truck, moving to Colorado, and being a part of this brand new church that was just our family at the time. And so 25 years later, it's so incredible to see how it's kind of come full circle, as about 3 months ago, we packed up our family. We were living in Florida. I was a pastor in Florida and packed up my 4-year-old son. He's the same age as I was when we moved to Colorado. And we made the trip to move to Colorado again to start a brand new church. And so we're so excited. And the reason that we said we are going to make this kind of a step and make this transition and do this is because of something that the district has recognized and something that has been noted all across the country, is that the best way to reach people for Christ is to start new churches, because there's no church in that community, no presence, no people who are proclaiming the gospel message in that particular neighborhood community, and all of a sudden there is. And there's a fire and an excitement for a brand new church, and more people come to Christ through a new church than any other way possible. And I don't know about you, but for me, I want to be a part of something that is bringing people to Christ. And I want to give my life to what is being most effective to reaching new people for Christ, because that's what I want to give my life to. That's what I believe our call is. And so it is so important for not only just you to wish me well and send me off with prayers, but for all of us to think about how is the best way that we could possibly engage our neighborhoods, engage different communities, so we can work together to bring the most people to Christ as possible. And so that's why I'm here, is I hope to, in some ways, represent the district and say this is why we view this as so important, is because it brings so many people into a relationship with God for the first time. So this is our family, and just give you a few, that's the wrong spot. See, we're having all kinds of computer problems. I'm going backwards. There we go. This is the neighborhood where we're going to be at. If you're familiar with the Denver area, you can see Denver International Airport up there on the top right. We're directly south of there. And that is a brand new community of about 1,000 homes that has no churches in the neighborhood within about 5 minutes of, about 5 miles. So probably about 5 minutes drive. There's no churches in the neighborhood whatsoever. This past month, they opened up a brand new school. Here's the two neighborhoods here, Cross Creek and Murphy Creek. This is a sign for the community. This is a brand new school that opened up this past month, called Vista Peak Elementary School. And next year, a new high school opens up. We are going to be meeting in this school because it is kind of in the center of the community, and that's really all there is in the community right now. And so we wanted to be a part of the community. We've met many of the teachers that are there. Our team has we served lunch to the teachers when they had a teachers in service day when they were getting ready for school. And we've met a ton of people in that neighborhood as we try to say build good relationships with them, and hopefully one day many of them would be a part of our church. There's the new that's the school sign. That is the grand opening for the school. There was about 2,000 people there, and it was exciting to see. We were hoping and praying that many of these people, in the future, we'd get to know. And here's a family, just to give you an idea, is most of the families in this neighborhood are new families that are buying their first home, that are just establishing a family. And this is a family that lives in the neighborhood that is a part of our team. They were went to church off and on when they were growing up, especially the father here, Trevor, and had not been going to church for quite a while. We had kind of a friendship, and they heard about what we were doing, and they said, "We want to be a part of that, and we want our kids to start going to church and things like that." And so I share that with you because this is the Van Lewitt family. These are the families that I ask you to pray for, because every day we're meeting new neighbors in our neighborhood. We're meeting families. We're interacting with people at the school, and it's our prayer that these people would be open to hearing about Christ. And some more pictures from the neighborhood. If you like golf, there's a nice golf course out there. And this is just my blog site. If you wanted information about that, that's on the prayer card, tylerheddick.com right now, but we're going to have a church site fairly shortly, just that gives us updates and all of those things. So that kind of gives you an introduction on who we are. What we're trying to do is, like I said earlier, start services in November. We'll do a couple of services, one service in November, one service in December, and then January 9th, we will begin worshiping every single week. So we'll kind of build up to worshiping every single week. And we're right now meeting in small groups. There's about 15 people that are part of our small groups that are gathering together as we seek out and are trying to build up this church from the ground up. So that gives you kind of an idea of what we're doing. And so we ask you to pray for us and think of us. And maybe there's some of you that you could think of, maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, we could be a mother church for another church plant in another town. Or we could think about our budget and how we give to missions and structure it in such a way that we give to the district or are thinking about church planting in the future. But I think it's so critical and essential that all of us say, we're a team, we're working together, we may be a state away from one another, but when we come together and we do it all together, we are so much more successful than when we are by ourselves. And so that just kind of gives you an idea of what we're doing. I'm going to turn now to a scripture passage in the book of Mark. And Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is one of those passages and one of those images that I've kind of tried to ingrain in my mind as we begin this new church. So if you join with me in looking at that, if you have your Bibles, you can look that up. If not, it's here on the screen. Can you do me a favor and scroll through this? Because it's going to be hard for me to do that while I'm trying to read. So Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52, it may be a story that you're familiar with. Says this: "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus, his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Would you pray with me? God, it's our prayer that you would just open up our hearts right now to the words that you have for us. God, this incredible encounter when a man who was blind could see. We pray that we would just be changed and transformed by your word. That God, you would help us to see the people around us that are desperate in need of you. And that God, we could be a part in some way for those who are blind to be able to see. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, this is a story you may be familiar with. It's a passage of scripture where Jesus, like it said, was traveling with a number of people and they were off to a number of different things. And it reminds me of a story that I heard several years back about a man that decided one day to go to the DC Metro, which is kind of a station where you get on the subway and go to various places. And he went to the DC Metro at the entrance to where everybody comes in and out. And he took a violin with him, opened up a violin case, grabbed the violin. He tossed a couple quarters inside the violin case to kind of get so people would get the idea of what he was there for. And he began to play. And he played, and he played for about an hour. And it was on video, and people were kind of paying attention to this. They say there was about 2,000 people that passed by, and only about, you know, a handful, like maybe a dozen or a little bit more, even stopped or paid attention to see what the man was doing. You maybe have been in environments like this before, maybe in the Denver area where we're at. If you're walking down like the 16th Street Mall in Denver, there's many people playing on the side. And a lot of times what we tend to do is just kind of walk on by and ignore what is going on. And that was exactly the case that day when this man sat at the DC Metro playing his violin. But the thing of it is that people did not realize that what was going on in this subway station is that the man that was playing's name was Josh Bell. And he just so happened to be one of the most acclaimed musicians in the entire world. 3 days before that, he had sold out the Boston Symphony Hall for about $100 a ticket. And he was one of the most famous violinists in the world. And on top of that, he just so happened to be playing a 1713, I don't even know how to say this, Stravardi or something like that. There you go. It's estimated to be worth about $3.5 million. Handcrafted violin. So, can you imagine the people that were kind of just going about their business, walking by, just passing by this person on the street thinking it's just another day, an ordinary situation? These are some of the same people that probably would shell out $100 to see this man play. Just passing by like he wasn't even in there. Just ignoring him. And just missed that right in front of their eyes, something incredible, an incredible event that they'd probably never see again in their life was taking place. Have you ever had one of those situations where you just passed by maybe something that could be an incredible life-changing event because you were busy and you were on your way to something else or consumed with something else in your world? You see, the story that we read in the scripture passage is counters kind of probably what the typical person would do, is that Jesus was going on to another city. He was leaving Jericho, and he had crowds with him, and he had places to go, and he had people to see. Many people that were crowding around him wanted his attention, wanted him to speak with them. And there was a blind beggar on the side of the road that cried out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." The around said, "Be quiet, we're busy, we don't have time, sit down." But he cried all the more, and Jesus heard him. It says he stopped, and he went over to the man and said, "What would you like me to do?" I can imagine the man's situation is in that culture, if you were blind, there weren't too many opportunities for you. He probably had his entire life, he sat at that spot or different spots, just trying to eke by enough money to feed himself. And I'm sure that maybe at times he felt like there was no hope, there was no answer, there was no direction or possibility in his life. And so you know what? In a desperation act, he cried out and screamed, "You know what? Jesus, maybe he could do something. I've heard about this." And Jesus stopped. I want to ask you, and I want to think about, not just for you, but for myself, how many times in our lives have we walked by and passed by somebody that maybe was crying out and screaming out for help? I remember about a year ago, I was serving at a church, like I said, in Florida, and it was a Sunday morning, and I was getting ready for all the activities. I was in charge of the youth and the children and did different things, and so I was busy, and I was running around a little bit late that day, getting things ready and everything. I had to prepare it because I wanted it to be perfect for everybody to come into worship and have a good experience. And I remember I was rushing around and somebody had to grab me by my hand and said, "Tyler." I said, "Good morning." And I said, "Oh, I didn't even hear you. I didn't notice you." And I remember thinking about that later on that day, that tends to be my tendency, is sometimes I can be so consumed with all of those other things that I miss the people right in front of my face, that I miss people around me. And the odd thing is, I was trying to make a good experience for those people that were coming, but I wasn't paying attention to the people that were coming. You see what I mean? And sometimes even in our homes and our families, we can be so consumed with so many other things that we miss everybody around us that is crying out for help. And maybe it's in a very subtle way, but they're crying out for help. I believe that all around us on a daily basis that we bump into and we run into somebody, maybe we pass them and don't even see them, that are crying out desperately for some kind of answer in their life. They don't have hope. They don't have the peace and assurance that maybe you know. They don't have a relationship with the creator of the universe. And they will go and do all kinds of incredibly destructive things to try to find peace and to try to find hope and to try to find some kind of life. And they'll cry out and do all kinds of things that maybe to us seem crazy, but they're desperate. They're desperate for something. I'm willing to bet that each and every one of us come in contact with somebody on a daily basis that is crying out for help, that is in desperate need of God. You know, in the scripture, it uses all kinds of different terms that sometimes are hard to translate into our culture and to our language. Because in the Bible, it talks about time in a couple of different ways. As it was originally written, there's a word for time called kairos. And maybe you've heard that term before. Then there's also a word for time called chronos. Chronos is what we're very familiar with in our culture. It's chronological time. It's our date books. It's our watches. It's our schedules. And our chronological time typically runs our life. We have a schedule to get to. We have something to do, and we try to move along our day to get to those things. But the Bible wisely has another word, and in that language is kairos, and what that means is a divine appointment, a unique opportunity in time where something just comes together, like it's timing. It's the right timing. Where we show up and our lives intersect with someone else's at an appropriate time, where something incredible can take place. Do you get so consumed with the chronos that you miss those kairos moments? Are you following me? Do we get so consumed with so many other things that are secondary that we miss those divine opportunities to do something in someone's life that may make a difference for someone for all of eternity? Are we so consumed with our world of ourselves and the things that we have on our plate that we miss the people that are shouting out and desperately in need of help? You know, I believe that all around us, people are crying out for help. Do we see? Jesus stopped, and Jesus saw the man. And then the last thing it says he did is Jesus healed the man. I don't know if you've ever been a part of something like this, but on several occasions in my life, I've had the opportunity to see someone that was in a desperate situation, had their life completely turned around, and accept God into your life. If you have been a part of seeing somebody's life completely and totally transformed, there's nothing better that you could possibly be a part of. There's nothing better that you could ever experience. I remember that there was several years ago, as I was a youth pastor, there was a girl that came into our youth group. And I didn't know her well. She came with a friend. And she came into our youth group, and she was there a couple of weeks. And I remember one Sunday night as we finished youth group, they went home, and I got a phone call about 30 minutes after youth group. And it was the mother of the kid that brought this girl to our youth group. And she said, "Tyler, I have some horrible news. This particular girl, her father had taken his own life while she was at youth group." And as the months, as the weeks and the months unfolded, you know, we began to have a close relationship with her and their family and brought them to some point of peace and some point of perspective in the midst of this awful, awful situation. And I think back and I think, what would have happened if that girl in our youth group did not invite that girl to be a part of our church? What would have happened if 2 weeks prior, instead of bringing that friend with her to youth group, some small act of faith saying, "You know what, you can come with me and see what's going on at this church youth group." What would have happened to that girl if she'd never had any kind of support or system like that in place and she had to go through the situation of her father who had taken his own life? What would have happened? It really is, when you think about it in those terms, it really is a life and death situation for the people that we come in contact. There's just another scripture passage that does kind of haunt me and keep me up at night. It's the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. And we won't read it all today. You can at some point if you'd like to. But Ezekiel 33, where God speaks to Ezekiel the prophet, and he says, I'll kind of give you the story. He says, "Ezekiel, you're the watchman." And what a watchman's job is to do is a watchman is supposed to stay up at night and stay on guard and look out and make sure that there's nobody off on the horizon that is coming over and is going to attack us in the middle of the night or when we're not ready. So the watchman stands guard and the watchman looks out and makes sure that the enemy doesn't approach. And if the enemy approaches, the watchman rings the bell and alerts everyone, and everyone is able to defend themselves. And of course, if the watchman does his job and rings the bell, the people down below are responsible for defending themselves. But if that watchman does not sound the alarm or ring the bell, you are responsible for those people because you did not warn them that trouble was coming. God has called us as the church to say that we will, for our communities and for our world, be that watchman, in a sense. That we see that there's so many destructive paths that are all over, that all of us can fall into. And what we have to do is we have to say, stop, that is not the right path. There is hope, there is another way. To boldly proclaim that it is through Jesus Christ that we are saved. I remember a day at youth group where we were out playing kickball. And one kid came up to play to kick the ball, and he was a big kid, and he went over and he kicked it over everybody's head way further than we thought it would go. And the ball was bouncing, and I'm in charge of all these kids. The ball is bouncing right for a busy street, and these kids are running after it, about to run out into the street. And as the youth pastor, I scream at the top of my lungs, "Stop!" Because trouble is coming their way. In those situations, we of course take action because we see danger could happen to somebody if we don't act. God has called us to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece to the world of people who are crying out for help. Do we stop? Do we listen? Do we do something so that they can be healed? I want to challenge you to think about maybe in your life, there's probably three people that you can think about that in some way or another are crying out for help. Maybe it's in your own home, in your own family. And I want you to think about three people that you can begin today to start praying for, to start waiting for the opportunity to be that voice in their life, to be able to help them through the blindness that they're living in. And wouldn't it be incredible if throughout this church a year from now, there's people scattered throughout this church building that were here because you prayed and you stopped and you listened to their heart cries, their desperate cries for hope and help. Wouldn't it be amazing if we, just like Jesus, could in a very real way help blind people to see again? Let's pray. God, we all desperately need you. And God, there's so many people in our world, in this community, and the communities surrounding us, that are desperately crying for help. God, in an incredible way, you've called us, the church, to do something, to act. To not just sit around and pay attention to the things that we're used to doing, but to do something maybe dramatic and to intersect in somebody's life so that they may be saved. God, give us the courage to begin to open our eyes and to hear the cries of those people and to do something. God, right now in these moments, we pray for maybe those three people that we thought of. That give us opportunities to speak into their life the hope of Jesus Christ. We love you, God. We pray this in your name. Amen. I just wanted to share a couple things before I take off. Thank you again for having me today. It's great to be here. What an incredible church. I just enjoyed the spirit of the worship and all of it, and it's just great to join with you today. I don't get to visit, I've never visited this town before or church, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to do so. So thank you very much, and we appreciate it. And I want you to know that you are definitely, we are in this together, that I feel like what you're doing here, we will pray for you, because we know that your community desperately needs you. So we'll be praying for you, and I just ask you to pray for us as well. Will you hit the, there's a couple things that you can do, and I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards. I'll be in the back. You, commit to church planting. Commit to being a part of it in some way or another. The church in Chadron, what an exciting thing, a college town. There's so many people that really need a church to plug into. Let's commit to, man, what potential could happen with a church like that? And so it's exciting that you're a part of that. But commit and think long term. How can we birth new churches, new communities that are reaching out to more and more people? And so let's all try to think about this for the long term and how we can be the most effective in that in the whole district. And Join our prayer team. On the back, you can sign up, and I send out a prayer list every couple of weeks. You can join our prayer team, and there may also be some people that consider financially supporting what we're doing or what they're doing somewhere else in the district. It's not just about us, but we are definitely about starting new churches because we know people need that. So talk to me afterwards, and I'd love to share with you any of those details, any questions that you have. I'll be there. And thank you again for letting me be here with you today.
I just want you to just kind of latch on to some of the last things that Tyler said. There might be somebody that, as he was talking, that God's laying on your heart. You have to understand that you are the person that God is calling to attempt to reach out. He's not calling you to come talk to me about the person that he's called you, you know, or somebody in your small group. I mean, seriously, you could very well be the only link that people in your circle of influence have, family, friends, coworkers, the only link that they might have to salvation through Christ, to that new life in Jesus. You know, so don't treat that lightly. And let's not, how'd you put it? Let's not sacrifice the Kairos for the Kronos. Right? All right, good deal. So if you can remember that, that's great. There is the little basket that a lot of times we use for prayer shawl donations. If you'd like to help defray some of Tyler's expenses or even just give him kind of a financial blessing, any money that goes in that basket, we're just going to send home with him today. And so it's kind of over there on that round table. And that's basically it. Oh, you did? Oh, good deal. She already read. I love it when people read my mind. That's a wonderful thing. So thank you for doing that. All right, let's give Tyler a hand again, and thank him for being with us. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. The rest of you are dismissed. All right, have a great day.